Welcome back, everyone. It seems longer than 2 weeks since we were last here, but my calendar says, yes, it has only been 2 weeks. I think maybe it's because there's just so much going on. That being said, guess what? Yesterday was the first day of Summer Reading Club. Can you tell I'm excited? I am, if you can't tell. When I was at the desk reading everyone, a lot of the questions were around a registration for Summer Reading Club. For Summer Reading Club registration, it is very simple. There isn't one. Just grab those logs and start trekking. Although Preservation Parks is doing their letterbox adventure through the library, you do have to register with them online. So go on their website to do that and print off the maps you need, or go to the library and we can get you registered and get your map. So come on in and get everything you need to have reading fun for this summer. Oh, I'd also like to mention that DCDL has also lifted the mask mandate per Governor DeWine's announcement, and I am just so excited to see all of your lovely faces. It has just been way, way too long. All right. I think that's it for housekeeping announcements. I want to say, yes. So today we're going to hear from Mark and Megan, both of whom you should know by now. Mark is going to be reviewing the classic horror stories, The King in Yellow.
Hello, my name is Mark Stevens, and I work circulation at the Powell Branch. The book I'd like to talk to you about today is entitled The King in Yellow, and the author is Robert Chambers. And I would say this book would be enjoyed equally by adult and young adult readers. I have a very strange treat for classic horror fans today. This cult classic of 10 short stories was written in 1895 in the vein of Edgar Allan Poe and was a great influence on H.P. Lovecraft. Stephen King also mentions this work in his novel, Thinner. I had never even heard of this must-read until a few years ago when I was watching season one of HBO's True Detective, and the series kept eerily referring to the horrible King in Yellow and his hellish world of Carcosa. Research revealed the author based his King in Yellow stories on a play that doesn't really exist called The King in Yellow. Supposedly, after reading this play, the reader would supposedly be driven insane. The concept of the King in Yellow runs through the first four stories of this book, and each story begins with some lines from this imaginary play of the same name. Those lines acquaint the reader with the dark, dead, cold world of Carcosa, where dark stars rise and twin moons circle the sky, where there are fog-wrapped cities of black domes and monolithic towers, almost surely on another planet and possibly even in a parallel universe. Besides the terrifying King in Yellow, this always dim world is haunted by the creature called the Pallid Mask. Dread and doom dominate these stories, and the author hopes the reader will not be sure whether he's gaining insight into the characters and plots or just losing his sanity. Are the characters reliable narrators or are they themselves insane? I hope I'm making this sound good to you because I just love sinking into this world and I want to tempt you horror fans to read it. Best of all, you really only have to read the first 4 to 5 stories, which is approximately half of the book. Now, I can't believe as a former teacher, I'm suggesting you can skip the last half of the book, but I know your to-be-read list is long, and actually only the first half of the book is horror stories, while the last half are more Victorian romance stories set in Paris in the 1870s, which are another strength of this author. These stories are well-written literary fiction that have kind of a surreal, kind of off tone to them, but they aren't must-reads. They were fine and well-written, but I actually wouldn't say they are worth your time. But if you are a classic horror fan, the first five stories are. So, if you're pressed for time, you can read 70 pages or so, and then be contented to know you've read one of the earliest horror writers' unique masterpieces. The first and fourth stories are set in an imagined future of America in the 1920s, while the second and third are set in Paris. All are chilling and foreboding and deal with characters being stalked by death, evil, and madness. The fifth story abandons the King of Yellow theme, but still is a haunting ghost story you will enjoy. These stories are well ahead of their time and have no bloody violence. They are pure psychological thrillers. The first five stories are only a total of 71 pages, and the entire book of 10 stories is only 149 pages. This book is available on Libby. A quick download and a quick read, and this treasure can be yours. And you can answer one of the book's haunting questions. Have you found the yellow sign?
I am not a huge fan of horror, although I do love Poe and definitely love short stories. I used to read O. Henry stories all the time when I was a kid. My parents had one of those big, huge, thick books that had all of his stories in them. I would read those for hours. I'm probably going to have to read this one because even though it's horror, it's kind of sounds more gothic than horror. I don't know. I'll get back to you on that one. All right, next we're going to hear from Megan, who was interviewed a few episodes ago. Megan is going to review the book Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. Ryland Grace is the sole survivor on a desperate last chance mission, and if he fails, humanity and the Earth itself will perish. Except that right now he doesn't know that. He can't even remember his own name, let alone the nature of his assignment or how to complete it. All he knows is that he's been asleep for a very, very long time, and he's just been awakened to find himself millions of miles from home with nothing but two corpses for company. His crewmates dead, his memories fuzzily returning, he realizes that an impossible task now confronts him. Alone on this tiny ship that's been cobbled together by every government and space agency on the planet and hurled into the depths of space, it's up to him to conquer an extinction-level threat to our species. And thanks to an unexpected ally, he just might have a chance. Megan says that Andy Weir's humor and attention to detail definitely continues in this new book. The slightly self-deprecating humor of the main character is the driving force behind this exciting out-of-this-world novel. Who better to save humanity than a junior high student teacher, right? She has to say that for a man who has amnesia and can't even remember his name, Grace is doing a pretty good job aboard a spacecraft heading for a new star. Spoiler alert. Megan says she was not expecting the good doctor to meet sentient life, but the logical yet humorous way in which she interacted with them is perfect. Rocky's attitude about how frail and useless humans are is highly entertaining. Like most of his previous novels, Hail Mary is highly researched and well thought out. It is definitely in the realm of realistic science fiction, and it makes Megan wonder if NASA will reach out to Weir again and ask who his alien contact is. Overall, it was a wonderful story, filled with well-thought-out and unique characters. The story was full of high, low, and high points of action and possible heartache, and kept Megan simultaneously rolling in fits of laughter and on the edge of her seat. I know The Martian was a super popular book, but most books set in space, with the exception of Ender's Game, and that's, a small exception. Those kinds of books freak me out. They just freak me out. Space is so scary. So although this book sounds hilarious, I think I'm gonna pass. Okay, what I'm listening to, I hope all of my devoted listeners will remember that I have been patiently waiting for my copy of A Deadly Education by Naomi Novik. I was finally able to get my hands on it, and the verdict is, drumroll please, it was all right. It jumps in right at the very beginning, and usually I'm all right with that, but it is such an unusual story that it took me until about like halfway through the book when I finally got it. It has a major cliffhanger at the end, so I'll definitely be reading the second one, but it took me a really long time to get into it. And I listened to the audio. The audio is really, really great. That being said, it was well written and had really good, well-rounded characters. But it was very unusual. It's not like her other stuff, so I think I was just kind of surprised. But it's good. It's good. If you're a fan of Naomi Novik, you should probably read it. If you're a fan of, like monsters and gross stuff, like monsters eating people gross stuff, because that's a huge part of the story, then you should listen to it or read it. What I'm reading right now, I just picked up this book. I'm so effing tired. A Proven Plan to Beat Burnout, Boost Your Energy, and Reclaim Your Life by Amy Shaw. So I heard Dr. Shaw, spelled S-H-A-H, on a health podcast that I listen to sometimes, and I resonated with what she was talking about. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I like reading health books and listening to podcasts. So far, she's making sense, but I'm not sold on everything she's saying. I've learned to be a little more discerning when I read these kinds of books. Just because the author is a doctor doesn't mean she is right all the time. What I'm looking forward to is Fault Lines, the Social Justice Movement, and Evangelicals Looming Catastrophe by Vodi Bakum. This book has been making waves in my circle of friends and influencers. And before I jump into the fray, of course, I decided that I should probably read the book. Because all of the reviews vary greatly, I'm interested to see what this book has to say. Okay, that's it for today, folks. Remember to come pick up your reading logs, register for Preservation Parks, and just come and say hello. I'd love to see you. Let me know how I'm doing by emailing whattoread@delawarelibrary.org. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Thanks for listening.